Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the ninth day of December 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And we'll take a very special look at the agricultural energy markets, in particular the price of crude oil, with Stephen Platt at Archer Financial Services. As we finish out our half hour together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And along the way, Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, will update us on all the agricultural news for the afternoon. And it happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The way the numbers settled up in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon, December corn was up 5.5 cents today to settle at $3.83. The March at $3.95 1/4, a nickel higher in the May futures. 4.03 3/4 up 5 cents. July up 5 cents at $4.10 1/4. December of next year, 5 1/4 higher at $4.23 1/2. From the soy complex, bean futures for the day, $10.49 1/4 up 5.5 cents. March up 5 3/4 at $10.55 1/2. The May soybeans at $10.62 up 6. July, $10.66 1/2 up 5 3/4. And next year's November beans, $10.20 1/4. They finished 3 3/4 cents higher. Bean meal at $411.60 up $10.10. And the bean oil at $31.91 up 14 for the day. Chicago wheat for the soft red at $6.15 down 9 4/10, or rather 9.5 cents. And December in the July contract at $6.30 1/4. Down 13 1/4 for the hard red winter. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby contract at $162.70. That's up $1.25. February at $163.37 1/2, and the live cattle $1.50 higher. Feeder cattle, the January contract at $232.60 up 72.5 cents, but the March was 65 lower at $227.57 1/2. And the lean hogs on the day finished up the lead option December at $86.90 up 32.5. February down 27.5 at $84.85. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Turning our attention now to the outside markets, crude oil for the day at $63.71 a barrel, up 66 cents at this hour. Heating oil or diesel fuel in the January at $2.08 2/10, that's up 2 7/10 for the day. The RBOB or wholesale price of gasoline at $1.72 3/10, a penny and 7 cents higher for the afternoon. Natural gas at $3.64 6/10, a 5 1/10 cents higher. And ethanol futures are currently trading the nearby January at $1.71. That's down 0.5 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at this hour is 88 points lower at 17,763, and the gold futures at about $1,230, up $35.50. The U.S. dollar trading at 88.69 is down 0.35 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Cloudy skies, a high of 37 degrees, a north-northwest wind at 9 to 14 miles an hour. That will gust to 18 tonight. Cloudy and a low of 26. The north winds will persist. Wednesday, partly sunny, a high of 36. Calm winds out of the north at 5 to 7. And those winds will stay out of the north through Wednesday night. Partly cloudy skies and a 24-degree low. Thursday, mostly sunny, a high of 38 degrees. And the winds will turn to the west at 6 miles an hour. Thursday night, partly cloudy and a low of 26. We'll have more on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Tuesday afternoon, the 9th day of December. On the phone line is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Wayne, thanks for being with us. Can I start you with the crude oil this afternoon? Because we're at five-year lows, and this impacts just about everything in the marketplace.
It sure does, Todd.
Well, where do we go from here? There are things that we need to talk about because we have ethanol, which uses about, 35% of the corn crop, I think, 35 to 40%.
Yes, it is.
And so we need to talk about it and whether it has a potential problem with a low price of crude oil, especially when the RBOB price of gasoline is thereabouts the same as the price of a gallon of ethanol, or whether the safety net kicks in, which is what the folks here at the university say should happen, and keeps ethanol moving through the system, although we don't have the extra gallons that were produced in previous times. What are you hearing?
Well, first off, you know, the big news in ethanol today was the Chicago City Council and their committee meeting passed the thing that would push to probably a 15% blend in the city of Chicago. So that was some good news towards the ethanol business that way, is to keep on some usage from an area as big as Chicagoland.
No,
so that was one of the positive things. So, yeah, that was one of the real positive things. It goes to the full council probably within the next 10 days. So that was a big oomph to that. But, you know, as we look at this, you know, we heard that last week at one time that ethanol is actually a penny over the price of gasoline, and you know what, is they were actually losing a penny every time they put a gallon of it in rather than not that way. So, you know, that's always, if it gets way out of line, they're going to start using their RINs. So I mean, that is one of the things. You know, right now, well, you know, the ethanol plants are running full blast. They've had a good run on things here, good profit levels, are making a lot of money now. They can afford to take a little less for that ethanol, especially if we could get a little bit of our DDGs going to China, which was one of the rumors yesterday. So, you know, all in all, I think we're on the right track, but it does, we heard of, you know, some of the fracking wells not buying as much sand to take up to the Dakotas for some of their stuff, too. So all sorts of things figuring in.
All right. So those are sorts of positive things. Chicago, of course, did manage to say that we would like to have 15% blends. I don't know whether they asked Detroit whether that was okay or not. It'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see what the car, what the automobile manufacturers have to say about that. And 15% blends work, I think, in everything that's 2012 or 2010 and newer, but there are older vehicles that it might have more difficulty with them. We'll talk about that more later, I'm sure, in 2001 and older that would be. So we'll see what that Chicago little bit of news will turn out to be. And then the DDGs was interesting. The rumor was that China is going to allow all sorts of DDGs with all sorts of GMOs. Is that right?
It was best that they were going to be much more open to looking at some shipments. You know, we talked about possibly beans going back in the containers that brought all of our Christmas items over. And it looks like they'd like to use some of those containers for DDGs. And I think that because of some of the pictures that showed the mold and some of their piles of corn and some going out of condition, that they're thinking they might be more open to this.
Oh,
so,
yeah, I forgot about those, too. That was an interesting little thing. So they've got a whole lot of corn that's on the ground, much like we do in the U.S., but it's not in very good condition in China.
No, it's not. And, you know, it seems like we do sometimes a poor job, but compared to the other countries, we do a tremendous job of managing our piles out in the wide open spaces. So, you know, that just doesn't work well with guys that aren't used to running grain elevators.
And finally, before I let you go for the afternoon, your thought process about tomorrow's USDA WASD, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. They're due out at 11 o'clock Central Time and noon in your time zone.
Well, you know, the the trade is thinking we're going to see a little increase in the carryout in corn, a little decrease in the carryout in beans. Will they actually say or do anything? I hope that they do, go ahead and push to what they really think it's going to be. I think the one we're going to look at more so for me is going to be the FSA report next week to see if the acreages are closer than what they were the last time we talked about. But we'll look for probably the markets to stay strong into the report, and depending on what they say, then we might see a little sell-off afterwards. But we're going to see what those reports say first, and I think we'll stay strong at least through noon hour tomorrow.
Any reason to believe that the FSA numbers will start to catch up? For instance, are deadlines due for farmers to report?
I think that they should have a more complete figure than they had the last time they've come out, and more figures generally added to them gets to be a bigger one, so it'd be closer to the NAS number we've seen. So, we'll hope that they're a lot closer than what the spread has been so far.
Wayne, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again soon.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, and soon means he'll be one of our panelists on this week's edition of Commodity Week. We record that on Thursdays now, so it should be up by about 6 o'clock Thursday evening. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture, and we'll round up tomorrow's USDA WASDE report. By the way, don't forget to visit our website and follow Dave Dickey and myself on our Twitter feeds. You can follow me at Commodity Week. Speaking of Dave, he's here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Illinois' next governor is looking for someone who has harvested corn and soy to be in charge of the state's agriculture department. Governor-elect Bruce Rauner has not yet made any public announcements about who he will appoint to cabinet posts, but a suggestion that a farmer become the next Department of Ag director drew applause from the audience yesterday at the Illinois Farm Bureau's annual meeting.
I just want people of high talent, high integrity, who have expertise. I want farmers running our agriculture department to benefit farmers. And I want people who have knowledge, deep expertise, a strong work ethic.
Rauner refrained from committing to naming a farmer to the post, but he said it's his strong preference. Rauner largely avoided a reporter's question about the future of tax breaks on farm implements, saying only that Illinois' farmers need to be competitive, and so Illinois' policies should match other states. Ag Rural reports that Brazilian farmers had planted 92% of their soybean crop as of last Friday, some 7 percentage points ahead of last week, but 2 points behind the year before. In Mato Grosso, the number one soybean state, planting is now 96% complete. In Paraná, the number two soybean state, planting is 97% complete. The number three state, Rio Grande do Sul, is 89% planted. Meanwhile, Brazil's 2014-15 soybean crop is 26% sold, up from 21% a month ago, but still behind the historical average of 39%. The head of state-run Kuwait Petroleum Corporation today says that oil prices will stay at about $65 a barrel for at least half a year until OPEC changes its collective production or world economic growth revives. OPEC decided on November 27th to maintain its output target. OPEC pumped 30.56 million barrels a day in November, exceeding its target of 30 million for a sixth consecutive month. U.S. oil production accelerated to 9.08 million barrels a day through November 28th. That, according to data from the Energy Information Administration, that's the fastest rate in weekly records that started in January of 1983. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. We always check in on the agricultural energies each Tuesday. This week, Stephen Platt is with us from Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. It's been some really interesting times over the last month in particular, Stephen. Prior to that, we started to see the price of crude oil fall. OPEC met on Thanksgiving, and things have really fallen apart. Tell me about the crude oil market as you see it and what the perspective might be.
Well, the market has, in fact, fallen apart in response to that meeting. It really was a watershed meeting for OPEC in terms of showing that they really did not have a united front in terms of combating lower prices. Instead, I think they're more concerned about their own market share and being able to preserve it for some of the major Arab members who have shouldered most of the cuts in the past. Right now, you have some other producers out there who are certainly suffering more than others, such as Russia and Venezuela. All of them certainly are concerned about the current low prices, but Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and Kuwait, the powerful members of OPEC who have shouldered those cuts in the past, are certainly willing to let prices break to try to force adjustments, not only on their own members, but also on those outside OPEC and also other areas such as the U.S.
No, let's talk a little bit about that, because this is not the first time that OPEC has looked around the planet and said, hey, wait a second, market share is a problem potentially with the development of new sources of crude oil and energy. What do you think their hope is to have happen, and how long will they keep prices as low as they are?
Well, I think OPEC would like to see the demand side start to pick up, and eventually it will, as population expands on a global basis, and also the economic recovery progresses. However, right now they are faced with a surplus situation in terms of supplies basically coming on strong in the U.S., coming additional supplies coming from Libya after some rather sharp disruptions. All of those are combining to make for a rather ample supply situation as we move into 2015.
Has the lower price so far caused any adjustment in the marketplace, meaning for those who are pumping oil to slow it down, for those who are trying to find it to decide not to look? What kinds of things have you heard?
Well, not really. At this juncture, you have to think these projects, which had been in the planning stages here over the past couple years, are still progressing. It will probably be well into 2015 when you start seeing questions being raised over capital expenditures. And the talk has been that, and you have already seen some companies actually move toward a restrictive capital expenditure programs, totaling as much as 20% down against what they had probably planned going into this year before prices fell.
It appears that they will leave prices, or at least supply, not particularly prices, as they have put out on Thanksgiving, at least for 6 months. Will that be long enough to have an impact on those 2015 capital expenditures?
Well, you have to recognize that oil projects, pretty much in terms of prices of production, pretty much go from as low as $10 in some of the low-priced Saudi areas to as high as $100. But it's those upper price projects which were undertaken under the thought that prices would remain over $100, which would be affected. Some of the deep water rigs and also some of the oil sands areas of Canada that won't be developed. Now, are those significant finds? probably not in terms of balancing out. You'll have to see the demand side come on, and some of that will be taken from some of the alternative sources of energy, which have been developed under a high price environment.
The price of crude oil has already dropped to five-year lows. Are there deeper wells to to go to in terms of price?
I think, you know, at the extreme, probably 55 on the downside and maybe 80 to 75 on the upside. I think we're looking at a kind of relatively flat price structure, which is somewhat different than what we've had certainly in the past. You're still susceptible to risks from Russia, from Iran, certainly will be watched. But generally, I don't think the kind of risk premium we were commanding in this market for so long, and it probably worked against the market so that prices will be lower than what they otherwise would have been.
What are your expectations that end users should do at this point, if anything, about locking in lower prices for gasoline or diesel fuel?
Well, you know, we have been somewhat cautious here, but certainly you have to look at what your end product costs are and how much the diesel might contribute in terms of being able to contribute to obtaining certain objectives with respect to your production cost. I think given the scale of the decline, you know, that certainly your risk is probably somewhat balanced toward maybe prices moving higher from here than a lot lower for very long. And that the Saudis possibly toward that $60 area, which they've talked about, probably will be willing to defend prices to some degree and possibly try to support the market.
And finally, can I turn your attention to the ethanol marketplace, where the price of crude oil, gasoline, and corn have all sort of come together in terms of ethanol? And it's not as competitive, certainly, as it once was. What kind of complications does this create?
Well, you have certainly seen the price of corn come down, and you know the margins have been quite good in terms of ethanol. So the production of ethanol continues to stand, and there's still a very strong element out there that is supporting the move toward using more and more renewable resources, particularly with some of the greenhouse initiatives that we saw here between China and the U.S. So that, you know, certainly ethanol is going to play a big role in terms of the energy needs, but maybe not as it won't have the kind of attraction it might have had under the $90 oil price. So certainly the support for such a program is going to not be as strong as it maybe once was.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
That, of course, is Stephen Platt. He's with Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes to take a look at the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
It's National Pastry Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1868, Fritz Haber was born, a German physical chemist. He won the Nobel Prize for Chemistry in 1918 for developing a method of synthesizing ammonia directly from nitrogen and hydrogen. His process led to the commercial large-scale production of nitrogen fertilizer. In 1886, Clarence Birdseye was born. Birdseye was inventor of the deep freezing food method and co-founder of General Foods Corporation. On Arctic trips as a field naturalist for the U.S. government, he noticed that freshly caught fish, when placed onto the Arctic ice and exposed to the icy wind and frigid temperatures, froze solid almost immediately. He also learned that the fish, when thawed and eaten, still had all its fresh characteristics. He concluded that quickly freezing certain items kept large crystals from forming, preventing damage to their cellular structure. In 1935, Lafayette Benedict Mendel died. An American biochemist, he published many papers on nutrition. His work on vitamins and proteins helped establish modern standards of nutrition. And in 1997, Carl August Fulkers died. He was the first to isolate vitamin B12. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather is here to discuss the forecast for the growing regions around the planet. Let's begin in the Midwest, where things really aren't growing. But, of course, we'd like to check and see what the forecast is like. Looks like it might be pretty easy over the next several days. What do you think?
Yeah, we're sort of in some winter doldrums for a lot of the nation. Now, not for the East Coast and the West Coast. There's going to be plenty of weather going on. But for the nation's midsection, temperatures have been nice. We haven't had any severe cold outbreaks, nor do we expect any. But one thing we're going to start to see this weekend, next week, and into Christmas week, and probably into the New Year's, is a more active storm track, coast to coast. And this is going to be especially affecting the southern areas of the Corn Belt and the southern plains, but some areas of the Midwest as well, with better opportunities for precipitation. Nothing real cold, but we'll see a little bit more in the way of activity moving across the country.
And if you look further out, what do you see? Do we start to get cooler again? I suspect that will be the case.
Yeah, as we get to the last week of December into early January, we're getting some pretty strong indications that cold air is going to work its way around to this side of the globe again and come on in. So the mild start to the month is likely going to end colder.
Turn your attention to the southern hemisphere, where their crops are in the midst of their growing season. Brazil and Argentina have gotten a little better now that they really are in the midst of the growing season. Kind of started out rough and rocky, but things are catching up, aren't they?
Yeah, things are catching up. Brazil in particular is looking more moist. In fact, all of Brazil, which could really use some rain in many areas, has got a pretty good outlook for rainfall. It will be a little bit drier in Argentina, but even in Argentina, I think there's going to be many areas that are going to be looking at some decent amounts of precipitation.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can hear him again where? On our website, of course, at willag.org. He'll be back up there momentarily. While you're there at WILLAG.org, you'll find five of the six presentations made at the Farm Assets Conference. We updated that today, and it now has the ARC and PLC decision as presented by Jonathan Kappas. He's a clinical policy specialist here in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. It's a really good listen, a little bit technical, so you may want to run through it a couple of times, but it's there, and you can listen to it. I'll try to make sure that we have video to go along with it so you can see the PowerPoints later on, but right now you can listen to Jonathan Kappas from the Farm Assets Conference talk about the ARC and PLC decision, along with the land values program that was presented by Bruce Sherrick, and of course the corn, soybean, and cash grain panels. Those all five are up there. We'll put up crop insurance tomorrow, and you'll see that too. It's at willag.org, willag.org, right there on our website. If you happen to be a user of iTunes and our RSS feeds. It's in the Commodity Week links, so it should be on your computer very shortly, or you can listen to it right there on your smartphone. Thanks for listening for the day. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.